Hi, this is Betty with Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break, and you're listening to WCRS 98.3, 102.1 LPFM Columbus. This is your community radio station. And here is your Fair Trade News Break. This information comes to us from the Ohio Conference on Fair Trade, the affiliate of Citizens Trade Campaign, in their August newsletter. On July 1st, the Ohio Conference on Fair Trade joined Sweat-Free Communities and 29 other Ohio organizations in introducing the Sweat-Free Ohio campaign. They have asked Governor Strickland and the Ohio Department of Administrative Services, DAS, to discontinue using taxpayer dollars in the procurement of uniforms and other apparel from sweatshops. The governor has responded positively by asking the Ohio Department of Administrative Services to immediately begin working with offending corporations to make changes to eliminate sweatshop conditions in their suppliers' factories. Further actions are being considered by the governor to ensure the elimination of these practices and to join other state procurement offices in supporting more effective means of monitoring overseas factory conditions. The Citizens Trade Campaign are gratified by the wide and diverse support of this campaign. Ohio labor faith, educational and community and social justice organizations have joined this call for more conscious and responsible public consumption by government purchasing departments. For more info about this campaign, or to lend your support, or to sign on your organization, please visit www.sweatfree.org/Ohio. In other news, we want to bring Battle in Seattle, the movie, to Ohio. The Battle in Seattle film, starring Woody Harrelson, Ray Liotta, and 50,000 Seattle WTO protest activists, will open in select cities on September 19th. Ohio cities, however, are not on the list. Here's the deal. Corporate America doesn't want the real story of the outrage of corporate globalization, the WTO, or how motivated activists won against impossible odds to tell their story. The Hollywood studios love the script, written by actor Stuart Townsend after 3 years of research, but the studios refused to make the film even as they complimented the script as entertaining and compelling. However, Townsend kept on. 6 years in the making, once complete, the movie got rave reviews at film festivals, but there was no distribution offers from major film companies. As Stewart noted in a recent interview, none of the corporations wanted to buy. It's a movie with stars. It's a movie they normally would put on the screen in a heartbeat. It has not been an easy ride making a movie like this. So, ultimately, Townsend decided to distribute the film independently. Here's how independent distribution works. If lots of people buy tickets during film's first two-week limited release starting September 19th, the film will get national distribution and so will our story of citizens speaking truth to power and winning. If not, it goes right to DVD, which is not good. By hitting the seats and building demand for getting the film's initial limited release in more cities, we can create the Seattle Surprise 2, national screening of the most subversive full-feature film you'll ever see, packed with major stars and ready to turn on to a new generation. It is easy to get this film to come to our Ohio cities. Stewart has set up this system on the film's website, which is www.battleinseattlemovie.com. That allows anyone to demand it to come to their city. If 200 people sign up on the demand it, the film gets sent there during the opening weeks. This seems like a very worthwhile effort to get this story out, especially during the election season. Please use the website www.battleinseattlemovie.com and demand it. We would like to have this movie in Columbus, Ohio. In other news, this information comes to us from Transfair's August newsletter. Fair Trade Month is coming up this October, and we are so excited about it. This year's theme is Faces of Fair Trade, and everyone hopes to delve deeper than ever into the story of how fair trade is changing the lives of farmers around the world. Every year, Fair Trade Month brings together the many and diverse stakeholders in the fair trade movement for a month of exciting and educational events, product giveaways, retail promotions, and more. Last year, over 12,000 companies participated, with fair trade sales jumping as much as 42% over the previous year. Over 50 million media impressions were made, including articles in major publications like the New York Times, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, the International Herald Tribune, Martha Stewart Living, and Shape. The Fair Trade Month spirit is already taking hold with major events planned for late summer and early fall in Portland, Oregon, LA, and Media, Pennsylvania. The New England Culture Festival happened on September 6, 2008 in Lowell, Massachusetts, and it is the nation's premier fair trade festival. It had 20-piece Brazilian ensemble, an African drum and flute ensemble, belly dancing troupes, ethical art and business expos, fair trade fashion shows, raffles, auctions, film screenings, exhaustive lists of supporting and exhibiting organizations, all from Transfair, Fair Trade Federation, Oxfam America, and Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. Also new in fair trade is the Fair Trade Resource Network, which recently partnered with the Fair Trade Institute in Switzerland to unveil a new collaborative online resource that makes a world-growing body of research on fair trade accessible to all. Through this interface, they hope to enhance learning and dialogue among academics and ultimately contribute to an improved understanding of fair trade and its impact on the ground. With this tool, you can find publications using new and improved search features, add your own publication with links to your articles, and make your professional information available to the fair trade community. Teachers, students, professors, activists, anyone interested in fair trade news and information should check out this website, which is www.fairtraderesource.org. And here's some more information about www.fairtraderesource.org. It's an information hub designed to grow the fair trade movement. Together, they are creating a market that values the people who make the food we eat and the goods we use. And here is my special guest, Ryan, to tell us more about University of Wisconsin Oshkosh becoming the first fair trade university.
The University of Wisconsin Oshkosh is the first university in the U.S. to become a fair trade university. By making a commitment to do its part toward ending trade injustices that result in millions of people living in poverty, fair trade products have been produced, providing artisans and farmers with a living wage for their work and humane working conditions, while also protecting the environment. About 70 universities in Europe have fair trade university status, including the University of Birmingham and the University of Edinburgh. But UW Oshkosh is the first American university to do so. To become a fair trade university, Oshkosh's four governing bodies endorsed a resolution outlining its commitment to selling fair trade certified coffee, tea, and chocolate in dining establishments, at catered functions, and in department offices whenever feasible, and within the confines of its food service contract, offering fair trade certified food products and handicrafts at university stores whenever possible, and identifying and acknowledging fair trade certified products and encouraging their purchase by students, faculty, and staff. The Fair Trade program will be overseen by the newly formed Campus Sustainability Council. Sustainability goes well beyond being green, said Chancellor Richard H. Wells. It includes social justice as well. By becoming a fair trade university, Oshkosh is making a commitment to do our part towards helping workers around the world get a livable wage and humane working conditions. As a large institution, Oshkosh can play an important part in shaping the future and in supporting green practices on all levels. Becoming a fair trade university is not the first step Oshkosh has taken toward becoming more sustainable. The university is a member of the Fair Labor Association and only works with vendors who have been inspected by the organization and certified as not subjecting employees to sweatshop conditions. Becoming a fair trade university is a natural next step for us, says Petra Roeder, Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs. This is part of who we are and demonstrates what we believe. In 2002, the university became one of the first to endorse the IRF Charter, an international declaration of interdependence that outlines fundamental principles for building a just, sustainable, and peaceful global society for the 21st century. In 2003, Oshkosh became the first Wisconsin university to join the Environmental Protection Agency Green Power Partnership by agreeing to purchase at least 3% of its energy from renewable sources, making it, at the time, the largest purchaser of green energy in Wisconsin. As a result, the university won an EPA Green Power Purchase Award and was listed by the EPA as an Energy Star case study. While there are no other fair trade universities in the U.S., there are fair trade towns. Milwaukee is one of the first cities in the U.S. to become a fair trade town. For more information about the sustainability initiatives of this university, visit www.uwosh.edu/sustainability. For more information about fair trade universities in Europe, visit www.fairtrade.org.uk.
Our world music today comes from Putumayo's compilation, Women of the World Acoustic. Our first song is by Anastasia Mutatsu. Anastasia Mutatsu was born and raised in a small coastal village in Greece before moving to a port district of Athens when she was 15. The traditional Greek folk songs her mother would sing to her as a child influenced her musical direction. Her first album, released in 1992, focused on traditional songs from the Aegean Islands. She has performed alongside with many famous Greek stars. On this song, Ola ta askola, which translates to all the difficulties, Mutatsu sings, "Speak to me lovingly, my darling, just two words before we depart. The night was like a stab in my heart, and the way ahead has no return. All the difficulties we went through together, yet we are to lose each other at the best moment." And here's Anastasia Mutatsu with Ola ta askola.
Δίχως γυρισμό όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Τελευταίο μας φιλί, ίδιος ο πόνος για τους δυο καρδιά μου, όταν ράγισε το γυαλί. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή. Όλα τα δύσκολα ζήσαμε μαζί. ζήσαμε μαζί. Κι όμως χανόμαστε την πιο καλή στιγμή.
And that was Anastasia Mutatsu with Olala Te Ascola. Our next song comes to us from Canada group The Wayland Jennies with the song One Voice. The Wayland Jennies were formed in 2002 after a chance meeting in Winnipeg, Canada guitar shop, where three young singer-songwriters performed solo sets and decided after hearing each other play to join up and form a group. The Wayland Jennies perform songs influenced by American and Canadian roots in folk music, yet interpreted with a modern sensibility. The groups have performed all over the world and have actually won a Canadian Juno, which is equivalent to an American Grammy. The song One Voice is an acoustic ballad that says, "This is the sound of all of us singing with love and the will to trust. Leave the rest behind it, it will turn to dust. This is the sound of one voice, one people, one voice, a song for every one of us." And here is the Wayland Jennies with One Voice. And that was the Wayland Jennies with One Voice. And today on Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break, we are going to follow up with a quick segment from Transfair USA of interviews of people being asked, why fair trade? These are all questions that were asked at the Chicago Green Fest. And here's Transfair's Why Fair Trade.
I'm Sarah Mertz. I'm with Pop America in D.C., and I support fair trade. Fair trade is a great alternative trade system because it promotes a living wage that helps families afford education and health care. It also promotes environmental sustainability, which is also very important. So it's definitely it's a great alternative that you should check out.
My name is Joe Curno. I work with United Students for Fair Trade, and I love and support fair trade. So I love fair trade because I spend a lot of time on cooperatives in a lot of different communities in the Global South and have seen the real impacts that it makes in terms of community development and the cooperative movement, and really think fair trade is an empowering alternative.
David Zerlin, Chicago, Illinois. I support fair trade. You can make things more equally balanced, why not?
My name is Emily O'Loughlin, and I am from Chicago but based in LA right now, and I support fair trade. So it's regulated and you're basically voluntarily holding yourself to a higher standard. And if you're willing to pay a little bit more for something that is a good and positive process, from each process on up to your actual product where you're consuming that, then I feel that you're voting with your dollar.
Andy Lambert from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I support fair trade.
Melanie Megan from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I support fair trade.
If you don't want to support slavery and unequal working conditions, if you like to support human rights, if you want to support equality, if you want to support better distribution of wealth and resources around the world, support fair trade.
I just think it's kind of fun. So, you know, fair trade can be fun.
Stacy from Chicago, I support fair trade to be socially responsible.
Liza Durkin from Milwaukee, and I support fair trade. Farmers would prefer a sustainable income rather than, you know, donations here and there.
With my mouth full of food, of organic food, my name is Tim Nguyen. I'm from Anderson, Indiana, and I support fair trade. Because I've come into contact with too many people who are at the lower end of the free trade market, who are marginalized and pretty much oppressed from it. So I kind of do it as a way of advocacy for my friends.
John Woods, I'm from Watts, California. I support fair trade. It's a better form of economic compensation. It's a more, like it says, fair way, fair and just way to trade resources.
My name is Valeria Stutz. I am from Buenos Aires, Argentina. It's fair for the workers to get paid like equally, not like, because they work hard and they should have got, but they should have got paid well.
And thank you for continuing to listen to Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break on WCRS 98.3, 102.1, your community radio station. We just have a bit of fair trade fun facts to put in the end of our show, just to let you know everything that's going on in the fair trade world. This little info comes to us from the BBC. Simon Butler models his fair trade clergy shirt. A Nottinghamshire vicar is entering the world of business by selling fair trade clergy shirts. Simon Butler, curator at St. Giles Church, said he came up with the idea after chatting to like-minded colleagues about fair trade products. Mr. Butler is selling long-sleeve men's and women's shirts with a tunnel collar on pre-order basis, with 80% of the first batch already sold. A percentage of the profits will be donated to ethical organizations. Mr. Butler said very few clergymen and women would dispute the importance of fair trade in guaranteeing producers from developing countries a fair price for their goods and labor. Until now, however, buying a fair trade clerical shirt has not been an option. It seemed ridiculous that clergy didn't have the option to buy according to conscience, said Simon Butler. In order to be granted fair trade status, companies must ensure that all those involved in the production process at every stage receive a fair price for their labors. The cotton for the shirts, which are currently only available in black, although the range is to be extended to dark blue, light blue, gray, and white, is grown in Africa, and the shirts themselves are made elsewhere under ethical conditions. Almost all of my colleagues seem to be committed to fair trade as an essential aspect of living the gospel message, and so it seemed ridiculous that clergy didn't even have the option to buy according to conscience when it came to our own uniform, said Mr. Butler. He has set up business with his father, Richard. Although business overheads will have to be paid out from other profits generated, the Butlers hope to make enough money into fair trade groups or projects to help children in poverty-ridden countries. He estimates that there are 25,000 Anglican, Methodist, and Catholic clergy in the UK that could possibly be buying into the fair trade clergy shirts. So way to go, Simon Butler. And that was the Waylon Jennies.
Sanyam betala dan kumbuye.